Hey, Rolling 20 fans, this is G, and I'm here to tell you today about a new sponsor for our show, Casey's Irish Pub. This is an honest-to-God, Boston or Chicago-style Irish pub located in downtown Los Angeles. They serve cooked food, 11 kinds of beer, and 49 different Irish whiskeys from 3 different distilleries. What does that mean? That means, if you're looking for a good drink during a Los Angeles convention, you don't have to go far. If you're headed to Los Angeles for E3, Kamikaze, Anime Expo, the Los Angeles Car Show, or one of the hundreds of events happening near the Staples Center, then a good meal and a glass of Guinness is just a short walk away. Jeremy, the loud guy who won't shut up when we do our own podcast, he actually ate there during the last Anime Expo, and he said this. Forgive me if I don't sound like the guy. I went to Casey's Pub looking for a place to bring people for a good night of food and found it when I was driving people on my way back to the Los Angeles Convention Center. We went back and I had the best steak pot pie in my life down there. My wife had a good whiskey to sip, and 8 of us had fun talking and eating in a place that looked like it belonged in a movie. Casey's just a couple of blocks from the Westin Bonaventure. That means it's close to one of Anime Expo's own shuttle stops. We're even hosting a photo shoot there during the 2014 Anime Expo. If you want more details on that, email us at mspfreight@yahoo.com. Hey, so do yourself a favor. And don't stock up on bad beer and try to mix something sitting at the desk of your hotel room. Ride the elevator, get off at the Bonaventure, and walk to Casey's Irish Pub to get some drinks by their bartenders. Make some new memories and have some fun. We want to see you there.
This is Anthony Bionis from Mission Star Podcast. If you're listening to this, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever. And we have no morning show this week. So hopefully this will substitute it in the meantime. Anyways, with me tonight, we have Greg Dietz.
Sorry, I'm tired. I am getting over like a little bit of a cold and today has just been, it was rough.
There's been a sickness going around recently. I'm not sure how exactly.
It's called winter.
That's true. Yeah. Once the weather hits over in California, everybody gets sick now. It's like, oh, hey, yeah. I didn't get that for a while. And also first time joining us tonight is Chris Bionis, AKA my brother, AKA the other person that works on MSP.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How's it going? Yeah.
whoa, turn down the enthusiasm.
So as we stated, we were talking about tonight. Oh, actually, I didn't say that. Okay, so tonight's topic is on exclusives, and talking about how they're making a comeback in the game industry as of late. Is it a good thing, is it a bad thing? And kind of talking about the possible future of what it may lend to the game industry. So, fellas, in terms of exclusives, what do you guys thought in terms of like where exactly it's going because of the recent kind of exclusives coming back after so many years in the game industry?
Now, are you referring to things like, because I think the most recent like big news when it comes to exclusives are the Amiibos.
I meant in the sense of video games. I'm talking about like, so in this current generation, there has been several games that have already been exclusives, but even more so for future games. So say Street Fighter V is a exclusive to Sony.
Tomb Raider is going to be exclusive to Xbox.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Yeah. So do you think that Because like prior to this, like we were living in a day and age of games being multi-platform, being on every console, PC, but we're kind of seeing the return of more exclusives coming to these consoles. Do you think that's going to be an oncoming trend to what we used to have back in the day?
Well, I'll pass it on to Chris because I got to think about that for a second. So.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like too far into the future. Honestly, I see. Doesn't this happen like every console generation? You know, the consoles come out or they're being advertised, and along with it are the exclusives to each side. You know, and they're trying to sway you to basically buy one over another.
Well, yeah, I mean that's what exclusives have always been about, is trying to get people to buy their consoles.
Yeah.
I mean, the Titanfall was the reason you buy an Xbox One.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think like that was a big thing. I think that exclusives have gotten a bit more intricate now, because like let's take Destiny for example, where PlayStation 4 owners get like extra guns and a different strike mission. So things like that are showing up a lot more often now. That's more fascinating to me than just like straight game exclusives. I think when there is a game that is on multiple consoles and one console gets a thing over the other, that's fascinating. That almost brings back memories of when Soul Calibur 2 or 3 was coming out and each console had a specific character. Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, it definitely reminds me of times of back in the early 2000s or even prior to that, like majority of the games that were being built for these consoles back then were still in that mentality of still being made for those consoles. Like there were some third-party companies who were making games that were both for Xbox and PS2 and Dreamcast or whatever at the time was at, but as time went on, as the game industry grew more, you saw, at least in this past few generations, you see a lot more third parties going multi-platform than they did exclusive that they did back in the day.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's we as I pointed out before, not just exclusives, but we live in a very we live in a very transitional phase in gaming.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Definitely. Like
yeah,
nobody knows exactly what to do. Nobody knows exactly how to put things correct. Like Nintendo comes out with a console that has an amazing gimmick that sells them a shit ton of consoles. Oh, yeah. And the other two go, we have to copy that.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't have necessarily happened back in the day. You would have had Nintendo go, well, we got to do something that gets other people in here and not copy what they're doing. Nintendo said, oh, PlayStation and Sega are doing CD. We're still doing cartridge. They didn't try to copy. Nowadays, that's everyone's trying to copy somebody else, or at least do something similar, so that way they can get that market. That's like, well, I've been a brand loyalist to Xbox, but Xbox doesn't have this thing that PlayStation has. Oh, but in 2 months they're going to, so I'll wait 2 months.
And they've also been boasting about different like capability of graphical power and all that, over PS4 over Xbox. And I saw a lot of people converting simply for that one fact, that they're like, oh, the PS4 has better graphics, so I think I'll just stick to that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, funny thing is back in the day, like. I'm not so far as today was back then, but I was like a really graphic person. I was really a person who listened to graphics. I was that guy. I was like totally into like, oh man, I need to have like the best console, the best graphics. Not so much today, but I definitely agree. Yeah, there are people out there who will choose one console over the other for simply because it's a slightly better resolution than the other.
Oh, definitely. And it was.
Just not to cut everything short, because I'm going to get back into this because it's an interesting conversation. If all of a sudden I cut my opinion short or cut what I'm saying short, it's because this chest cold that I have is preventing me from going too far, and I get winded from talking.
That's cool, man.
I just finished what I said, and I'm over here just going...
Yeah, no. Yeah, take your time, man.
Yeah, we could take out majority of it.
Oh yeah, no. If I stop talking, definitely pick up those reins because I.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, how old are you guys?
I'm like 22.
I am 27.
I'm 31. Okay. I mean, like, Anthony, you were kind of growing up in the tail end of it, but, like, I was around when TV were showing, you know, the commercial Nintendo does or Sega does what Nintendo does.
Right, right, yeah, I was at the tail end of that generation, yeah.
Yeah, and I always say this because, like, people, you know, people get it secondhand now. You can go to, you know, YouTube and watch any of these commercials where they're like, you know, Sega's like, well, we have these games and Nintendo doesn't, and Nintendo's like, well, we have these games and Sega doesn't. And but I grew up in that age where I went to school and get into full-on arguments with kids about which console was better, because that's what it was, you know, the do you want to play a Sonic or do you want to play Mario, do you want to play Altered Beast or do you want to play F-Zero. It was so strong of a competition at that time that, and I was a Nintendo fanboy, that when I'd go to school and be like, have you played Mega Man X? It's amazing. And some kid's like, fuck Mega Man X. I got Sonic and Knuckles. You can play Knuckles in any of the Sonic games. And I'm like, so, I mean, that was, that's where I get a lot of my, I don't know, the word, like, energy from that era.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see it today, when I watch, like, the commercials aren't that big. I mean,
nah.
Like, when they were doing commercials for Titanfall, they would show the commercial for Titanfall and they'd be like, only on Xbox One, currently $500, you know, like.
Oh, yeah, it's very minimal for, you know.
Yeah, there's no straight punches at the other group.
Yeah.
The most recent, like, that I can think of where, like, one company took a jab at the other was when Sony, at their press conference, was like, we have all our games, and you can share them.
Oh, yeah,
that was great. I love that.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I remember that.
Oh, man, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was the only thing I could think of that was anything like, you know, the old school days of straight up competition.
Oh, definitely. Right. Yeah.
I think.
But I feel like they were at a different. They were at like a same level back in the day too. I feel like the consoles, anyways. You know, there is no real advantage of one at the other. Except for just, you know, the games and maybe the controllers if you really were that picky.
But even then, like, right now, console-wise, the next generation consoles, there aren't that many games exclusively to those consoles that...
No, there's not.
I feel garner a purchase. Not yet, at least. Maybe given a year, maybe they have more games for sure for people to...
You know, I asked somebody a while back, I said, you know, we know that Nintendo has 18,000 mascots. Mario being the primary.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, what does Xbox have? And usually Master Chief, hands down. Like, that's their mascot.
Yes, yes.
But who's PlayStation's? And I pointed this out to somebody because they were like, that's really interesting. It was Crash Bandicoot, made by Naughty Dog.
Yeah,
totally.
It's now Nathan Drake, made by Naughty Dog.
Mm.
That's
a good point. That is a good point. I mean, yeah.
Because, I mean, think about all the games that are coming out or could potentially come out for the PlayStation. If they made another Resistance or Killzone or, you know, Parappa the Rapper or Fat Princess, none of those would sell consoles as much as Uncharted 4.
Oh, definitely.
Agreed.
Yeah.
One of the things I want to put out there, because I got this before coming to the show. So here's an interesting thing. So Halo Master Chief Collection came out this year. And in the first week of sales, it made $650,000 only on one platform, on Xbox One. Now, I went back and checked how much did Halo 2 make on day one sales. When that launched the original Xbox, it made $125 million on its first day sales for Halo 2. The thing is, though, is that what I'm trying to get at is some of these games recently, as of late, have not been coming. We had this discussion prior. Like, they've not been coming out fully fixed. You still see bugs. You still see stuff that is still not coming out as well. And one of the quotes I got from Giant Bomb on a podcast that I was listening to, some of the things that they brought up were pretty good points. So one of them was publishers were not ready for next gen. not a ton of games were coming out. They were kind of fucked. And also with the with some of these exclusives being announced for some of these games, like Street Fighter V, one of the people in the podcast, might have been Vinny, said that there was a desperation from platform hoarders to help out companies like Capcom and other third-party stuff to help have more game exclusive for their consoles. Because these consoles are the next gen consoles are having such a hard time finding more games to people to play on their consoles.
Anthony, do you remember the conversation that you and I had and what I told you when we had many conversations in the past about consoles and whatnot?
You would have to refresh my memory, but go on.
A console is only as good as its games.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I can agree with that.
And nowadays, because we're talking about exclusives, there aren't many.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what Giant Bomb is getting at, is that due to the lack of exclusives that each console has, is one full title worth the purchase of a console?
Yeah, and that's what I see a lot of people doing now for Smash Brothers at the Wii U just recently, having come out. A lot of people are, you know, a lot of my friends, especially, you know, personally, are, you know, saying, oh man, you know, I'm going to go out of my way just to buy a Wii U just for this game. As to compare to, like, say, Killer Instinct, who's going to go out of their way to buy an Xbox One for that?
you'll have some, but not a lot.
Yeah.
Not enough to garner a successful console generation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So, they made a great point. I wouldn't put it past them that publishers and third-party companies were not ready for this next-gen phase and felt like this next generation came a little bit too early for them to have games prepared, ready for launches. And it shows.
Yeah.
It definitely does.
Yeah, one of the big things that I constantly rallied for was how Microsoft was going to handle their business. Having certain things, the way that what they wanted to do was have a console Steam system.
Yeah.
I think having a douchebag behind the fucking controller.
Yeah, that didn't quite help out.
No. Like, even I was supporting Microsoft and all that. I was like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Let's go with that. And then he was like, well, if they don't have internet, there's the Xbox 360. And I'm like,
that was a hard knock to a lot of Xbox fans, Microsoft, you know, fanboys at that point. They're kind of like, I don't know about this guy. You know, maybe PS4 is the way to go this time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I still wanted the Xbox One for one simple fact, and that was my friends had it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like, I like to play, I like to have whatever console my friends have, so that way when I go to play a multiplayer game.
Oh, then they're always on, yeah.
Right.
That always makes sense.
That being said, you know, I wasn't blind to this bullshit Microsoft was pulling.
Oh, no, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like countless times I would tell like certain friends who were defending Microsoft to the extent of like an abused woman, he only beats me because he loves me. That's like the worst joke that I've made in a while.
Yeah.
you're an awful person, Greg. You're an awful person.
Yeah, well. maybe you should get some Nerf stairs. I'm sorry. Blame it on the cold. No, I think like there, you know, there's going to be fanboys who are always going to side with whatever side, like console they want or whatever company they want, because they know that it's that brand loyalty thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna sit there and. When all these exclusives are announced, they're gonna throw it in the other group's face and vice versa.
Oh yeah.
That's the world we live in now. It's not so much that we have undecided voters in the gaming world.
Yeah.
We have people like my brother-in-law. He doesn't give a shit about what exclusives are on each console. He cares about Call of Duty, and he's been playing Call of Duty for years now.
Oh, definitely.
He, he only care and he's only been playing them on PlayStation. He's only ever owned PlayStation consoles. So why is he going to change? The brand loyalty is there.
Yeah.
If I were to tell him tomorrow that you know, PlayStation is doing all this, you know, shady shit, he'd be like, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. And games.
Right. And sure, and the companies love people like him.
Oh, definitely. Because
they never have to worry about, you know, finding new customers in that regard. However, they are still trying to get those new customers. They're still trying to get those new people. And the competition that they're bringing is not working.
Yeah.
It simply isn't working. There's too many smart gamers out there that are going, so, Steam, how are you doing?
Funny you should mention that. Like, it's funny how the evolution, at least for myself, have as a person who plays games for a living, have evolved. Because I was in that very same boat. As like, I've always been like a brand loyalist. I was totally in for Xbox for the longest time. Xbox original, Xbox 360. But as time went on, and I guess thanks to sites like Reddit, NeoGAF, and other sites, there are a lot of people talking more about, you know, hey, which game should I get and which games are out there, which is cheap. And, like, it's become a thing where I'm starting to be more self-aware. Like, there are a lot more options than there used to be back then, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
So, like, now I am more of a PC gamer, but I also been playing, you know, I still got my consoles. I just got a Wii U recently. So, like, there is definitely a different mindset for today's people who play games than back in the day. And I think that is, I wouldn't say it hurting, you know, some of the consoles out there, the next gen ones, but it does kind of help, or kind of, it does what's the word looking for?
Are you talking about competition helps?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause like some, I can't talk.
Are you okay, man? You having troubles today?
La 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 la.
Someone check who's having a stroke.
No, basically,
put a wallet in his mouth.
No, basically what I'm saying is that there's a lot more competition today than it was back then, and people who play games are a lot more smarter than what they were back then. So that was the point. I wanted to put out.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I talked to certain people about exclusives, and generally speaking, people don't give a shit about exclusives anymore. Like, oh, Tomb Raider's only on the Xbox One? Well, I guess I'm not playing the new Tomb Raider. That's the mentality. That's not what they want. They want people to go like, well, now I gotta buy an Xbox for Tomb Raider. That's what they want. And unfortunately, that's not what you're gonna get. That's the point I want to make, is that the advertising and the strategy of trying to get new customers is not working.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I totally agree.
Shockingly, like, it was a big fucking shock when the fucking Xbox One went down in price. Its sales shot high, like, way above Sony for like a moment there.
Yeah.
People just want to play games on consoles that won't break the bank.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, at an affordable rate. Yeah, that's why I'm seeing, like, you know, people, I don't know, is it, which one is the cheapest? It's Wii U, right, at this point?
Yeah, it's still Wii U, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a lot more people buy Wii U's than I have Xbox One's or PS4's, funny enough, you know, for the last couple of years that it's been out.
Yeah.
I'm actually curious how many they sold this holiday season.
The Wii U?
Yeah, well, the Wii U shot up in sales when, like, right before and during Smash Brothers release.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I remember hearing that Xbox beat PS4 in the November MPDs for console sales. But I wouldn't put it past Wii U as being the one who actually won in November.
Well, overall sales, Sony and Microsoft are neck and neck right now.
Oh yeah,
I think Sony is just slightly under Microsoft at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
but yeah, like during the month of November, you know, skyrocketed sales of Sony or Microsoft over Sony.
Yeah, Like Thanksgiving weekend kind of those deals with Black Friday, Cyber Monday kind of thing going
Right.
on.
Well, there was you could there were at Walmart, because I only know this because my mom works there and she told me about them. They were selling Xbox Ones with three games and two
Oh, wow.
controllers for $320.
Wow, that's a really good
That is
deal.
really
That's
good
an
deal.
ins like, and it was new games. It was like Unity, Master Chief Collection, and something else. I don't remember what it was, but it was like, oh, it was Trials Fusion.
Oh, sure.
That's
Yeah,
what's good.
that sounds like a great deal. But I think what also carries that is also the name, you know, the game titles itself themselves. You know, if they were like new IPs, like, you know, what was it, Sunset Overdrive? I don't know if a whole lot of people are gonna be, you know, begging to get that.
Yeah, I mean,
And Sunset Overdrive is a great game. Like, there's nothing wrong with it, but
no,
you're
yeah.
absolutely correct. That's the biggest issue with new IPs nowadays, is that people are like, should we? Should we not? It's
Yeah.
really rare to see a new IP blow up. I think certain games this year did get lucky in that, with Titanfall and Shovel Knight. They
Oh, definitely.
got insanely lucky. And but like, yeah, like a game like, we just said it, Sunset Overdrive,
Yeah.
you take the risk of doing something unique, doing something new and different that
Not
people kind of.
everybody's gonna be like, you know, oh, you know, this doesn't it doesn't feel familiar to people.
Right. Like, that's, that, like, people argue, oh, well, Nintendo put out the Wii U, or the Wii, sorry, the Wii, and it sold like crazy.
Oh,
Well, it's
definitely.
because it had a gimmick that was easy to use. It
Everything
didn't.
was user friendly.
It was the Mac of the Apple of the console world suddenly. You point a remote at the TV. Anyone can do that. My 50-year-old mother wanted one at the time. She was 50, but she wanted one for her birthday. How many 50-year-old women ask for a Wii U on their birthday? Or, I'm sorry, not a Wii U, but a Wii.
Yeah,
And
no.
the issue is that, and I saw this with almost everybody that had a Wii, except for gamers or children, was that it'd sit on the shelf, collect dust, and then it would end up only being used for Netflix.
Oh yeah, agreed.
Or just for the kids, or you know, something else.
Yeah, I worked at Walmart when they sold those. And the biggest thing that we kept getting told over and over and over when those sold was, we need to start selling the games. The games are not getting sold with the consoles. The consoles are flying off the shelf, but the games aren't being sold, so we need to start selling games. I mean, you think about why. And it's because, and then you go like, oh, and then, a few years later, Nintendo's like, $500 million lost. Like, no shit. How did you not see that coming?
Yeah, their lineup wasn't entirely strong beyond, you know, certain I would say age limits. You know, people only get, you know, enough out of Mario every, you know, 10 years. It's just after so long, it's just, you know, it's the same thing. And I found that with Super Mario, was it 3D World now, the one on the Wii U? I've played a little bit of it. It's fun, don't get me wrong, but it gets old very fast.
Sure, I understand that, because, Mario, like, that's why Galaxy was so cool.
Oh
It was
yeah.
so awesome. It was a different way to control Mario. It was a different idea behind what to do with Mario. That's why I still love Sunshine. It was like, throw a jetpack on Mario. Sweet. People were, oh, you could be a janitor on the island. I'm sorry. I didn't, I wanted something new, and they gave me something new.
Yeah,
Shut your
totally.
face.
They provided.
Yeah. And hell, 3D World is just a better looking version with new levels and power-ups of 3D Land, which was on the DS.
Yeah, and I didn't play that one on the 3DS, but well, that's good to know though. But
Oh yeah, I hadn't played it either, because I don't have a 3DS, so when I get a chance to play my nephew's 3DS, I hop on it. Well, I was at my buddy's house, whose son also has a 3DS, and I was bored for like an hour, and I was like, what games does he have? And I saw 3D Land in there, popped it in. I'm like, this is 3D World. This is, it's just, but it's
With
just
just
Mario.
multiplayer and you know.
You know what's funny is, now thinking about it, because like I was gonna ask, like, do exclusives work now and possibly the future? But then I thought about it, and you know where exclusive really works the best at? The 3DS, handheld games.
Absolutely,
they are Nintendo. Like all their games for that have been all exclusives, and they work really well.
Well, yeah, there's two factors as to why, and we've already kind of touched on them. Good games, good fun games that people want,
mm-hmm.
and cheap price.
Yes.
Oh yeah, $30 for a game. You know, that's way affordable. People can do that. That's, you can buy like two for the price of one Xbox game, brand new.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. and if you get them used, even cheaper. So
yeah. My nephews don't play their 3DS because they like playing their, like, they never leave their house long enough to bring a DS with them.
Oh, sure.
And they don't want to play the DS at the house because they have a PlayStation 3 and a Wii.
Oh, okay.
But whenever they get their allowance to a certain point and they'll go to the store, it's always like, do we get a brand new 3DS game, or do we get like an old PS3 game?
Yeah, that's the kid budgeting with games.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
But yeah, like I was thinking about it. Yeah, Nintendo really does hit it out of the park, and they have a vast amount of games for their DS lineup.
And compare that to like the Vita, where the console itself, the handheld, is like $200 or something. Yeah, $300.
That is
$250. That's really expensive for a handheld.
If I go to the store tomorrow and I go, do I want a Vita or a Wii U? I only have enough to get one because they're the same fucking price.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna get the Wii U.
Oh,
I'm gonna get the console that has better games on it, more things that I want to play.
Yeah, it might not be handheld, but you know, it's doing a whole lot more, you know.
Well, that's something that Nintendo, the reason that's a third reason why the DS does so well, is my phone plays games that look as good as what's on the Vita.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to sit there and go like, experiences you've never seen before, but they have. I've seen them not only on console, because most of your titles are what was on console, but my phone does just that good of quality. Or hell, even if I want to, my laptop plays that shit.
Yeah, that was a very interesting point you brought up, though. That's a very good example of how exclusives can work very well for that is perform well on a DS, but compared it to a Vita, where that's Sony's handheld, and that all exclusives are on that. Handheld, but the games on there, like this next generation, they're not enough, and these are games that already have been on other consoles or been on PC and just ported to the system.
Yeah.
So it's a very good comparison, a very good example of like how exclusive can and can't work.
Yeah, that's, you know, Nintendo owns so many properties, so many beloved properties, and on top of that, having a very cheap system out there, that's what's keeping their head above water.
Oh, definitely.
I'm sure you guys remember earlier this year when they were talking about possibly selling their entire company to another company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
luckily, financial struggle. Yeah. Luckily, what got them out of that hot water, though, was Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, yeah. No, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. I would say Smash. I would say Pokemon X and Y. Or not X and Y. The new one. Omega.
Yeah, that. Well, I would say Pokemon X and Y would have had to do with it, because that was much more popular, in my opinion.
Yeah, Pokemon X and Y actually has a much higher sale number than X and Y. Than
Omega,
Ruby, Sapphire,
Ruby.
And, yeah, whatever.
whatever the things
Ruby,
are.
Ruby, Alpha, I don't know.
Something, I don't, Omega, Alpha. Mm-hmm. Okay.
the frat house games. And I think that's because, again, as we have established on this podcast numerous times in the past, why do we need to keep rehashing old games?
Yeah.
It's not really an exclusive when you come out with a game that I've played before. Yes, okay, these new Pokemon titles are they look like X and Y, but they take place in a place that I've been before.
I suppose it's for nostalgia, though. A lot of people like to relive, you know, their childhood of playing, you know, Red or Blue or Ruby or Sapphire kind of thing, you know.
I get it. I absolutely understand it, and I have nothing against that because, shit, I bought the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah.
But, they don't sell as well as I think that the companies think they do.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Halo 4 sold, like, in their first week, close to 2 million copies.
Yeah.
And then by the, like, the end of the first month, it was, like, close to 10 million or some shit like that. It was a really insanely high number.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Do you know how much the Master Chief Collection has sold at this point?
How much?
Like, 800,000, and that's it.
But I feel like there's a lot more hype going into the individual titles rather than the whole collection itself.
Sure, absolutely. I think, you know, when Halo 5 comes out, it'll be insane. And people are going to want... And maybe the sales will jump before the 29th because, you know, Christmas is around the corner here. I don't know when this podcast is going up, but... you know, I think people are going to buy the game and then they're going to want to play the Halo beta, which you can only play the Halo 5 beta if you have a copy of the game.
That's true. Yeah.
But I still think that the numbers are not going to be at where other Halo games have been.
Oh, no, definitely not. I don't see it. I don't see it getting anywhere near that kind of level unless there is a driving force behind it of people being like, yeah, this is going to be a great fucking game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. And on this very podcast, I made a bet about Master Chief Collection not selling that much. I failed that bet massively. I misappropriated how much people would want the Master Chief Collection. But it still didn't sell as many copies as I think Microsoft was anticipating.
Oh, no, yeah.
So...
Here,
I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. The thing is, I'm asked this question before, but looking at the future of the game industry, looking at the future of exactly how these exclusives are going to be coming in by. Now, given, like I said prior, some of these companies like Sony, like Microsoft, are actually helping out some of these third-party companies to help develop the game so they can be an exclusive for their platform. My question is, do you think that we'll see more or less exclusives in the future? And is it going the way as the classic term, going the way as the dodo?
That's a loaded question.
I see that the trend of exclusives might be based off of, you know, this generation's exclusives, how that turned out. It depends on what we're going to be getting next generation. I can't really say otherwise.
Yeah, like it really does depend on how this generation reacts to exclusives. If for some reason, like, Tomb Raider and Uncharted sell a shit ton of consoles, this trend of trying
it's
to get the exclusive
continue.
it's gonna continue.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't work like they expect it to, we're not gonna see exclusives to that extent anymore because companies are not going to want to put a shit ton of money into a game that's only gonna sell enough on one console.
Oh, definitely. They're going to want to expand their market with different consoles being on, you know, everybody can buy any console and get it anyways. So,
right.
I agree, it just depends on this generation.
Agreed.
There's too many factors that go into that could change what happens in the future. What I personally want to see is people start understanding what video game companies are trying to do. They're being like 1950s ad agencies, and they're going, the mass is stupid, and they only want what we give them.
Yeah.
They don't know what they want. So we'll give them what they think they want, and we'll continue to just make hand over fist money, and shit will never change. But I don't want that. I want gamers to be like, well, if you're not going to take the time to make sure that your game works, I'm not going to buy it.
Oh, no, yeah. I've seen a lot of people having that kind of issue, especially with, you know, Assassin's Creed Unity just coming out. Everybody's been saying that there's been all sorts of bugs and glitches, and they're like, you know, telling other people, like, don't buy this game. It's, you know, full of shit, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed.
When I went to, real quick, when I went to GameStop with my brother and his fiance, they were picking up some used games. And I was talking to the guy behind the counter, and I was like, well, how many returns have you gotten of the games that have been released that are kind of busted? He was like, what are you talking about? I said, well, you got Master Chief Collection and Unity and a couple others here and there that have just an insane amount of bugs. How many people have brought games back? And he's like, oh, well, we gotten a lot of Unity, but not that much of Master Chief Collection. And the only reason I can appropriate that Master Chief Collection doesn't get sent back is because the campaigns work.
Yeah, no, yeah. I would say that's strictly just the multiplayer being an issue, rather to Unity being the whole game as an issue.
Yeah. Like, there's full-on missions in that game that stop progression, like game-breaking glitches.
Oh, yeah, no.
Definitely. Plus, it helps the fact that the Halo 5 beta multiplayer is on the disc too, as well as an incentive to keep it. So
that's true.
That helps out.
Absolutely.
So I'm gonna put my neck out there, and I'm gonna make a bold prediction. But for 2015, in terms of exclusives, I do think that exclusives are going to be a thing in the past, and I think that exclusive will only be on one console, will now be on Nintendo, because they know how to work it so well.
Well, yeah, they've been doing the same old, you know, trick every generation, same thing, Mario and Link, or Zelda and Donkey Kong kind of thing going
yeah.
on.
If it ain't broke, why fix it?
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, if you look through the years of, you know, the last generation and so far with this generation, there are less and less and less exclusives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think of the major exclusives that Microsoft has. Yeah. We've only named two, and that's the only ones I can think of.
Sunset Overdrive, Tomb Raider, Killer Instinct.
Killer Instinct didn't have that one.
I'm pretty much on my end. I really,
yeah.
It's really hard to name any exclusives, honestly, this generation. I can't really tell you, because, I mean, in the case of, like, PlayStation, though, there's also exclusive of, like, the indie games, third party, as well. I suppose that's true.
But, yeah, but, you know, when we talk about indie games, that's another category, because I'm mainly referring to AAA.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, like, getting to fight like play as or fight against Kratos in Shovel Knight sounds amazing.
Oh yeah.
Like, I will intentionally go to my friend's house, buy Shovel Knight on his PS4, and then just beat it. Countless times I've beaten that game on the DS, and like, that's my game of the year. Just like, there's so many reasons I could name, but that's not the topic. That's one of those things that I was talking about in the beginning. Like, it's gonna change from, because I don't 100% disagree with you, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
What I do disagree with is that it's not going to be a lack of exclusives. It's going to be companies going, well, let's sell both games on both consoles, mm-hmm. or all three or whatever. Mm-hmm. Let's not, you know, pigeonhole ourselves there, but our hand is out, company, and we're blindfolded. Whichever company puts the most money in our hand will put a special thing in your game.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's a business perspective, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to see a lot more of.
I could, yeah.
Like this Destiny thing. People were like, you know, they get mad and say that Bungie sold out and all this shit. And I'm like, A, that term's retarded. I don't know why I say retarded. That term is stupid. I gotta really get off that kick. It's like saying. Anyway.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people that were complaining that Sony just sold out, and or not Sony, but Bungie sold out.
Oh, sure.
And I said, if what it was that Sony needed something to sell their consoles. And they couldn't get Destiny as a whole to themselves. So they kept lining the pockets of either Activision, probably primary Activision, or Bungie to put extra content. And it worked. It worked very well. As a matter of fact, it worked so well that Destiny sold like double the amount of copies on the PS4 than it did on the Xbox One.
Wow.
So that this year alone in 2014 has shown that that kind of exclusive works far better than...
It's like the pre-order kind of bonuses.
Right.
Where, you know, a lot of people are flooding in just to get, you know, this new item on, like on the Steam, you know, where they have the, buy this Tomb Raider game and you get, you know, this outfit for your Team Fortress 2 characters. And it's like, you know, more hats, more cosmetics. And I don't know, I see a lot of people flooding in just buying it just to trade.
Yeah, I definitely, since you brought that point up, Greg, I definitely see that in the future of exclusives. It's where it may not be the exclusive of yesteryear or even now, but more or less companies coming out and say, if you give us more money, we'll put an extra incentive in the PS3 version than the Xbox version, and so on. There is one more thing I want to bring up, because we're on the topic of exclusives, and it's more just more of a funny thing. So remember, I think a couple of weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, the PlayStation Experience conference happened, like the day after the Game Awards.
It was literally the day after.
Yes. So, and this is something regardless, I think that what they did was a pretty shitty move in the first place. Square, and for those you probably already know, Square Enix comes out during the last thing of the press conference for Sony, and
I know what you're getting at. I know exactly what you're gonna say.
And this is an exclusive, but okay, just to give you back history, what was it, 2004 E3 where they showed the Final Fantasy VII tech trailer or the tech demo?
It was I think it was 2005 because 2005 is like the end of 2005 is when the 360 came out, and then 2006 is when the PS3 came out.
Right.
And I want to say it was 2 years before its release, or a year before its release. So I want to say E3 2005 is when they showed.
Right.
That.
You're talking about that tech demo of the remastered Final Fantasy, was it 7?
Yes. Yeah. People lost their shit when they saw that.
Yeah, people were going nuts.
And for years, since that very day, people have been asking and wondering, will Square Enix make a remake of that Final Fantasy VII for...
Like, with re-updated graphics and, you know, kind of like what they did with Black Mesa with the Half-Life 1 mod.
Yeah, definitely. So, fast forward that to 2 weeks ago, and Square Enix had the balls to come out there and say, it's been this amount of years since Final Fantasy VII has came out, and he's pumping up the crowd, and he's really making it sound like it's finally coming to the PS4.
Yeah.
It's funny because I remember seeing NeoGAF at the time, and people were losing their shit, and then losing their shit again in a complete opposite directions as they showed the trailer, and we're all kind of watching, and we're like thinking, okay, it's Final Fantasy VII, maybe they're gonna transition to, you know, a better graphic image of it. And it kept rolling. And after a few minutes, we all realized that, wait, this is just a support of Final Fantasy VII onto the PS4.
Yeah, that's a huge dick move.
Oh,
huge
my God.
Dick move.
God, that was great.
the amount of, the brass balls they must have to go in and do that with all these fans, all these rabid fanboys, asking for this Final Fantasy VII remake for years. And yeah, that must have been a real kick to the balls.
That was.
Just a swift kick to the taint.
Yeah, man, that was, ugh. So,
Well, I remember watching it, and I don't have any stake in playing a remastered Final Fantasy VII. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
So from my perspective, I was like, oh, they're actually doing it. oh, they're not. Oh, no.
Yeah, because, like, for a minute, I thought they really were going to announce. I was like, wait, are they really? After all these years, are they finally going to do it? But then, no.
That would have been really nice. But, I mean, I'm not one of those fanboys at all. No, but...
Right.
Yeah. No, I know plenty of people who are very upset about that. They're like, wow, that was really not cool.
Yeah.
If you hear a bunch of background noise, I apologize. My neighbors are being loud b-holes right now.
That's okay. I don't hear nothing on my end. But I was going to say, like, to kind of end that topic, like, if Square Enix ever made a revision or that version of Final Fantasy VII from, like, tech demo years and years ago, it would break the bank for them. For the amount of work they would have to put into it. There'd just be no way.
It kind of reminds me of people asking for Mewtwo to be in Smash since Melee.
Mm-hmm.
Not having gotten it in Brawl, they were all upset, and then they kept asking, and then finally DLC came out just announced not too long ago, of Mewtwo coming out for both Smash 3DS and Wii U copies, and it's like, you know, I feel it's the same kind of situation there.
Yeah,
but in a regard of where they actually go through with it and kind of, in my opinion, pander to the audience, you know.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
They attempted to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't work out because the audience was like, "Oh my god, what?"
Yeah, you could tell in that audience.
Oh, there was a camera that somebody had of like at the audience the entire time. And it was, everyone got to the edge of their seat and was all excited and their eyes widened. And then when you can hear them say, like, remat, like, just, you know, like 60 frames per second, PlayStation 1 version, they all kind of like sat back in their chair with this puzzled look, like, are they fooling us? And then, like, there was a moment where it said something about, like, you know, it's been 20 years or something to that effect of it coming out. And they sat forward again. And then it was like, and the remastered version is coming to, not remastered, but this version is coming to the PS4. And they just were like, all right, they sat back down. It was really funny.
It was. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for us for tonight. Thank you guys for joining me to talk about exclusives and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it was fun. This was a short, pleasant podcast. This was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have nothing to add to that, pretty much. That's what I was going to say.
the harking of back in the old kind of MSP episodes that we still do, but it's more or less turned into a new show in the mornings. Anyways, before we go, Greg, where can I find you on the internet?
You can follow me on Twitter at ChubRockGeek. I stream every Wednesdays over at twitch.tv/halfemptyenergytank. I will be starting a stream of Dragon Age on the Mission Star podcast. I'll be doing, hopefully I'll be doing every weekday from about noon to 2. You know, just 2 hours every day of a little bit of that game or whatever game in general, depending on schedule. So that's pending, but that's what I'm shooting for. Anthony will go further into this, but my articles and reviews on the website.
Cool. Chris, where can they find you on the internet?
That's a good question. I don't know. Honestly, like I have a Twitter that I never ever use. I couldn't even tell you what the damn like handle is. So we'll work on this for next time. We'll get something going.
TBA.
To be announced.
Yes.
There you go.
You can follow me on Twitter at Defective Naruto. You can follow the work that we do on the website at missionstartpodcast.com. As Greg mentioned, there's be several new stuff coming down the pipeline this week, I believe. I don't want to push it on you, but I think there's some new stuff coming.
Yes, I'll talk about it later, but yes, there's stuff coming down the pipe.
Cool. And since the end of the year type of deal, there will be kind of a slowness on the site, but we're just all getting ready and gearing up for the year 2015. I will say the first thing that you probably will see coming up on the site will be some Anime LA coverage, which should be happening in a few weeks, actually. So a bunch of us are going to be down there covering the event. More details about that will come very soon. So be on the lookout on our Facebook page, Twitter page, YouTube channel for all the information regarding that. But that'll be all from all of us. We'll see you guys next time.